Blog Talk Radio.
We want to thank you for joining us today for Thought Life here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Stephanie King, and the title of today's program is How to Fight Back When You're Under Attack. And just a quick reminder, this is a live and open call-in show. So as you're listening, if you've got questions, please feel free to dial in. That number is 347-838-8357. You know, anger is an emotion that we all experience. Either someone gets angry with us or we get angry with them. Tempers flare, there's a back and forth, and the next thing you know, you could have a really dangerous situation on your hands. Anger, raging out of control, will try to destroy what is in its path, even if it's you. When someone comes at you in a rage, you either will take this abuse and you'll shut down, or you'll choose to fight back. Now, when you choose to fight, you've got to know how to fight. And on today's program, we want to show you how. And specifically, today, I want to focus on the person who's on the receiving end of someone's rage. And joining us today are Jay Birchfield and Bo Bohannon of the Anger Solutions Network based in San Antonio, Texas. They're going to shed some light on this topic for us. They teach a course that they like to call Living Peacefully in an Angry World. Jay and Bo, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I can't wait till we delve into this topic, so I'm just going to jump right in with my first question. Now, when someone is really, really angry, it can strike fear in you. So what happens to the person who's being bullied with anger?
Well, let me say, first of all, when a person is being bullied from another person, their body starts to react physically because they're under attack. Their blood pressure will go up. Their breathing will become more shallow. The adrenaline flow will kick in, and the muscles would tighten up also. And unknown to us, but also our eyes dilate. We try to help people get sensitized to how their body responds physically so that they know immediately that I'm headed toward anger. The other half of that is one starts to have emotional reactions to being under attack, such as depression, confusion, frustration, impatience, irritation, disrespect, and things of that nature. So when one is sensitized to both the physical side and emotional side, it helps them appreciate the fact that they are now getting angry, not necessarily in a bad way or a good way, but they're getting angry.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to set some boundaries with somebody who's angry with you?
Well, yes. I think that one of the things that you have to understand that if you are, and I'll use your word, under attack, you have to determine, first of all, why you are under attack. If the person who is attacking you verbally, you know, we hope not physically, but verbally, is under the influence of drugs and alcohol, Stephanie, all bets are off. You cannot reason with a person who is not able to reason in a rational way. And assuming that you are under attack and the person is not under the influence of some substance, then, yes, you have to have a way to respond to them. And you cannot respond to them in a submissive way, because if you do, you will they'll just eat you alive. You cannot be submissive to a person who is that angry. Nor can you be aggressive with that person, because then you have two angry people. Okay. So the idea here is to be able to talk to that person, but not be able to talk to that person in a submissive way or in an aggressive way, but in an assertive way, with the idea, first of all, that you are going to say what you mean, you're going to mean what you say, And when you say yes, they can take that to the bank. And when you say no, they can take that to the bank also.
When you say that somebody can eat you alive, what do you mean?
Well, if you are submissive, they'll discontinue down that same road. You can't use the idea of, oh, I wish you weren't that angry. Please don't be that angry. Can't we all just get along? That isn't going to work with a person who really is in rage or in fury. It just mm-hmm. doesn't work. That person has to understand that where you're coming from is from your point of view, and you have to make your point of view in a very assertive way, not in a submissive way, not in an aggressive way.
Mm-hmm. What happens when we do something to set them off? I mean, isn't it our fault that they become this angry?
It's not your fault if the other person uses you as being the reason that they're angry. They're doing things that we coach them not to do, and that is to play the blame game. Our culture plays the blame game routinely, and you can see that just by picking up the newspaper. We want to be in control of our emotion of anger and not allow all the different triggers around us just to automatically put us into a state of being angry.
I could add to that, if you would like for me to,
Please, Bob.
If you're making the other person angry, you're the trigger for their anger. But let me tell you that the problem is not the trigger. We all have people who trigger our anger. The problem is the anger itself. And if you understand that, then you have a basis to talk to the other person when you can tell that what you're doing or saying is making them angry. Then you can have a discussion with them about why it is that what you're doing or saying makes them angry.
Mm-hmm. Do you pull back when you see them starting to get angry?
Well, of course, you can always pull back, but that could get into a cycle. And you don't want to continually be angry. And most people don't understand that continual anger can many times not be just a bad habit. Okay? We have a lot of people that come in and say, I'm in the habit of getting angry on a regular basis. Then the question comes, wait a minute, is that just a bad habit? Or is that an addiction? And this gets into an area that most people don't understand, Stephanie, is that when we think about addictions, we usually think about physical addictions like drugs and alcohol. But you can have an emotional addiction too. People can become addicted to an emotion. Anger is an emotion. And if you find that you can control people or influence people or create fear in people using your anger, and you do that over and over again, you can actually become addicted to that emotion.
Hmm. And do you treat it as an addiction like you would other types of addictions?
Absolutely. Because if you have any addiction, that addiction will cycle. And there are specific steps or points around that cycle. And so let me tell you this, and let's see if I can explain it this way. If a person is addicted to alcohol, okay, when do they stop the addiction? They stop the addiction before they take the first drink. That's where the cycle has to stop. The same thing is true with anger. You have to stop the anger when you start feeling the physical responses to anger that Jay was talking about just a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have to stop it. Is there, tell me about the process of doing that.
Well, as we teach in our program, you've got to use tools to accomplish the job. If you're going to stop your anger and get it under control, you need a series of tools in which you can use as part of your toolbox to do the job that needs to be done. We start off by saying a person needs to understand that it's important that they be under control. So we have developed a little acronym that says STOP, S-T-O-N-P. Stop mm-hmm. the hollering, screaming, yelling, pushing and shoving and cursing. You have the capability to do that, but you got to want to do it. The T stands for being a thinking person, a person that is trying to think and behave like a mature adult. Most angry people act like an immature child. And then the O stands for being open. Be open to the other person's behavior or situations or points of view, but that doesn't mean you buy into them. You just understand that they may be fatigued, under the influence of drugs or alcohol or whatever, and that will help you stay in control of your emotion of anger. And lastly, the P stands for the problem. The problem that I have right now is my anger, and I've got to keep it under control, because if I don't, it will start to control me, and bad things happen when anger is in control and you're not in control.
Yes, and if I could add to that just a minute, that little stop word has, from what our clients tell us, have changed their lives. And one of the things that you have to understand is that when you start to feel the physical responses to anger, that you have to stop. Have you ever read anywhere that you have to do something when you get angry? Of course you don't. And so if you stop and try it sometimes, just stop for 10 seconds. Now, 10 seconds can seem like 10 hours, but if you're not doing anything in that 10-second period, what will happen is your metabolism will start to decrease, okay? And that's physical. You can't stop that. And that helps you start getting under control, or as we commonly call it, getting a grip.
But couldn't that also, that 10-second period, couldn't that make the other person even more angry because you're not responding the way they expect you to? I mean, don't they expect to fight back?
Let me answer that, because that's an important point. You cannot control another person. We like to think we can control another person. We cannot control another person. You have to get under control yourself first. Let me give you an example of that. When you've flown on an airplane, when they give you the instructions, they say if the pressurized cabin gets fouled up, the oxygen will come down. Put it on yourself first before you put it on someone else. The idea is you get under control yourself. You can't control another person, but you can control yourself. And that is key to dealing with the angry person.
But what about all those pent-up emotions that I have because somebody's coming at me?
Well,
what do I do with those kind of feelings? Do I just try to put a stop to them?
No, what we teach in our program is that with every event, there is an emotion attached to it, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. And if you have built up anger, built up emotions like you're talking about, we say in our program that it goes in your subconscious mind. And to help our clients get their arms around their subconscious mind, we use a subject matter called the backpack. We talk about putting your anger in your backpack. So what we help our clients do is take that anger out of their backpack and keep it out of that backpack.
You said take the anger out of the backpack and then do what?
Get rid of it. Let it go. Because Anger will not come out of your subconscious mind or your backpack automatically. It will not do that. Think of it this way. Cancer just doesn't go away. You've got to take care of the seeds of the cancer. I recently had cancer cut off my ear from skin cancer. I had no clue that I had the cancer. Most angry people have learned the wrong ABCs, if you will, growing up or learning how to mismanage their anger from the streets, and therefore they continue to mismanage their anger regardless of their relationships with their other people. So we need to understand that some basic skills of good anger management principles need to be learned and cultivated in our culture that we see today.
And that's really the reason for anger management, because if people say, well, let's just forget about it and we'll talk about this later, the anger really never goes away. It goes somewhere, but it doesn't go away. And where it goes is into the subconscious mind. And the next time that same situation happens, or anything like it, that anger there is there to come back again, because you have not solved the problem. You have not solved the angry issue.
You talked about the backpack and taking it out of the backpack and throwing it away. Is that some sort of a visualization that we can do? Like, we take it out of the backpack, we're holding it in our hands, and then we just throw it out to the wind? Is that what you mean?
Not just something. We understand that many people have difficulty letting go of their anger. We teach that a person needs to create, go through some sort of end of anger ritual or activity. It could be digging a hole in the ground. It could be writing it out on a piece of paper and burying it in that hole. But a person has got to make a conscious decision that I'm going to reconcile, I'm going to let go of the anger, and I'm going to move on with life. Angry people tend to spend more time looking in the rear than they do looking forward. And we jokingly say they spend more time looking in the rearview mirror than they do looking out the front windshield.
What happens if the little things that you're in a relationship and the little things that you do, just things that don't seem to be a problem, become a problem for the angry person, and you're in this relationship? You can't just walk away.
No, you can't. And that's part of the what we call our three-part assertive message. You can't let the anger build up. And one of the tough things to do is, because you don't want to hurt other people's feelings and this and that and other thing, but definitely what you have to do, if someone is saying things that irritate you, if someone is saying or doing things that irritate you, you have to tell them what it is. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do. But you have to, first of all, tell them what they're doing, and then tell them what effect it has on you. It annoys you, or it makes you angry, or whatever the response is. And then you got to tell them why you feel that way. And if you don't have a good why, you don't really have any reason to be angry, okay? But that's the three-part assertive message that we use. When you do that or say that, and I'm going to respond this way, and let me tell you why I'm going to respond that way. It may be simply what you said, I think you believe, but it simply is not true.
The Bible teaches, be angry, but do not sin. What does that mean exactly?
That means not to let your anger go into unrighteous anger, where you're hollering, screaming, yelling, cursing, pushing and shoving, fighting. It means to be angry that there's a disconnect between you and the other person, and with a lot of love, humility, compassion, honesty, you need to get that topic on the table and discuss it as two mature adults. A lot of people in our culture believe that two people have got to agree totally on everything. that is not realistic. We're all created equally, but we, at the same time, we're all created differently. So you will have a different slant on something than I will. So we teach that it's okay to disagree, but not to be disagreeable in your disagreement.
Yeah, and if I could answer or add to that just a little bit, there is such a thing as righteous anger. You know, when I sit down with my wife at night in front of the TV set and see one story after another of people who abuse their children, should I be angry? Well, of course I should be angry, because that is inappropriate behavior. So there is such a thing as good anger. Jesus was angry several times. When he cleansed the temple, he was not just upset. He was angry, and he drove them out of the temple, as he should. But that he left it there. He left his anger there. It was righteous anger. He took the appropriate action, and then he left the anger there.
Let me make another point here, Stephanie. A person should not be angry at the other person. That the anger-provoking behavior is coming from. It's not the person that we're angry at or toward, it's the person's behavior. So we need to focus on the behavior and not the person. And it takes a maturing adult to be able to comprehend that and to focus correctly their focus on the behavior and not the person. Yes, they're connected, but they don't do whatever it is that is aggravating you 24/7. I have a client that gets angry at her husband for driving too aggressively on the highway, but she's angry at him. No, she's angry at his driving. There's a significant difference. If I focus on the behavior, it can be done more objectively, and hopefully he can see that it's that particular behavior that's causing the problem.
Is anger the basis for violence?
It can be. We have people over the years that are continually angry when they come into the program, but they have never, ever struck the other person or thrown anything or that type of thing. There are levels of anger. Just briefly, righteous indignation. Unrighteous indignation is just blowing off when you shouldn't. We all do that some. And then there's such a thing as wrath. And that's where people start to get physical. They start using gestures like they're going to throw something. They don't throw it, but they threat. And then there's fury, where they actually hit someone or throw something at somebody, etc. And the bottom scale of that is rage, where a person actually does not understand what they're doing or saying.
Are they really trying to get control over the other person? Is that the dynamic at work here?
Yes, yeah. Normally they are. And when somebody explodes, that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to frighten the other person. They're trying to scare the other person. We're back to what we talked about earlier. They enjoy that adrenaline rush. They enjoy that feeling of being superior, that feeling of being dominant, and that normally comes from a person that has an aggressive behavioral style. You wouldn't see that coming from someone that is submissive unless you find them being in what we call passive-aggressive status, because they've been putting so much anger in the backpack for months and years maybe, and they explode outwardly when that is not the normal way for them to mismanage their emotion of anger.
That happens to be true. I'm sorry. That happens to be true. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people that enjoy their anger because it gives them that sense of power and gives them that sense of control. And they actually enjoy that angry emotion.
So it can become a codependent relationship?
Oh, absolutely.
Where I guess there's a cycle there where, you know, one gets angry, the other shuts down, and then it starts all over again.
Yeah, and that would be the addiction cycle that we're talking about, the person who continually
Can you fix the relationship that's been torn up with anger? And what if a person just flat out refuses to change? I mean, I guess you have the option of just cutting them out of your life.
Well, you certainly have that option, but before I would cut someone out of my life, I would seek some professional help in that particular area of their lives. There are all sorts of problem behaviors. There are all sorts of addictions, and you need to have the ability to get with somebody that can help with that particular type of addiction. You wouldn't go to a AA meeting if you had a narcotics problem. You'd go to a narcotics meeting or an NA meeting. So you've got to address the problem from the right vantage point and with the proper skilled physicians or counselors or psychiatrists, psychologists to give you that particular assistance that's needed for that particular problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have another question. I wonder if this bad economy has some effect on people in terms of tempers flaring.
Oh,
do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do. And I think if we look at our society today, Stephanie, that we see a lot of stress in our society. And we see a lot of people who feel anger because things are happening to them that are really not their fault. For example, you have an employee who's a very good employee. He's always on time. He works hard. He doesn't take advantage of his employer. And suddenly he's laid off. And maybe he's been there for a number of years. And he can feel a lot of stress because of financial problems now. A lot of anger, like, what did I do to deserve this? So, yeah, I think that the general culture of our society, when times are good, I think we have less stress and we see less of this. And when times are difficult, we see more of it.
Stephanie, around here, we routinely say that alcohol and stress are the gasolines of anger. It will really fuel your anger in a negative way.
So as we begin to wrap up today's program, can you recap for us what you call the three-part tack that we should take in handling our anger?
Yeah, when you're speaking to someone who is angry or upset, you cannot be submissive to that person, nor can you be aggressive, because if you're aggressive, you're just fueling the fire. What you want to be is assertive, not submissive, not aggressive. And to be assertive, you have to have the courage to tell the person what they're doing or saying that's making you angry or stressed out or irritated or whatever emotion you're feeling.
Okay.
You have to tell them, and then you have to tell them the effect that it has on you. It makes me upset, it makes me angry, it makes me stressful, whatever effect it has on you. And in other words, you have to disclose your real feelings to them, and then you have to tell them why it has that effect on you.
All righty then. We've been talking with Jay Birchfield and Bo Hannon of the Anger Solutions Network, based in San Antonio, Texas. If you'd like to learn more about the kind of work that they do, you can look them up online at angermanagementnow.com, angermanagementnow.com. Their phone number is 210-804-0085. And you've been listening to the program called Thought Life here on Blog Talk Radio, and I've been your host. I'm Stephanie King, and we really appreciate you joining us. This is a podcast, so it's available for you to replay at any time and to tell us about the program. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you, and we'll see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.